Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 14, The Ideal Family Life, Text Number 8. Yava Brityeta Jataram Tavat Svatvam Hidehinam Adikam Yo Bhimanyeta Sustaina Dandam Arhati Yavat, as much as Brieta may be fulfilled, Jataram, the stomach, Tavat, that much, Swatvam, proprietorship, he indeed, Dehinam, of the living entities, Adikam, more than that, Yaha, anyone who, Abhimanyeta, may accept, Saha, he, Stena, a thief, Dandam, punishment, Arhati, deserves. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. One may claim proprietorship to as much wealth as required to maintain body and soul together. But one who desires proprietorship over more than that must be considered a thief, and he deserves to be punished by the laws of nature. Purport. By God's favor, we sometimes get large quantities of food grains, or suddenly receive some contribution or unexpected profit in business. In this way, one, we may get more money than needed. So how should that be spent? There is no need to accumulate money in the bank merely to increase one's bank balance. Such mentality is described in the Bhagavad Gita 16:13 as asuric demoniac. Idam adya maya labdvam labdam imam prapse manoratam idam astidam apime bhavishyati punardhanam. The demoniac person thinks, so much wealth do I have today, and I'll gain more according to my schemes. So much is mine now, and it will increase in the future more and more. The asura is concerned with how much wealth he has in the bank today and how much will increase tomorrow. But unrestricted accumulation of wealth is not permitted either by the Shastra or in the modern age by the government. Actually, if one has more than one requires for his necessities, the extra money should be spent for Krishna. According to Vedic civilization, should all be given to the Krishna consciousness movement as ordered by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 9:27. Yat karoshi yaras nasi yat jahosi dadati siyat yat pasi kanteya tat kurushvavanarpanam. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and all give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering unto me. Grihasthas should spend extra money only for the Krishna consciousness movement. The Grihasthas should give contributions for constructing temples of the Supreme Lord and for preaching of Srimad Bhagavad Gita or Krishna consciousness all over the world. Shrinvan Bhagavato Bhikshnam Avatara Katamritam. In the Shastras, the Puranas, and other Vedic literatures, there are so many narrations describing the transcendental activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everyone should hear them again and again. For example, even if we read the entire Bhagavad Gita every day, all 18 chapters, in each reading we will find a new explanation. That is the nature of transcendental literature. The Krishna consciousness movement therefore affords one an opportunity to spend his extra earnings for the benefit of all human society by expanding Krishna consciousness. In India especially, we see hundreds and thousands of temples that were constructed by the wealthy men of society who did not want to be called thieves and be punished. This verse is very important, as stated here. One who accumulates more money than needed is a thief, and by the laws of nature he will be punished. One who acquires more money than necessary becomes desirous of enjoying material comforts more and more. Materialists are inventing so many artificial necessities, and those who have money, being allured by such artificial necessities, try to accumulate money to possess more and more. This is the idea of modern economic development. Everyone is engaged in earning money, and the money is kept in the bank, which then offers money in the public. In this cycle of activities, everyone is engaged in getting more and more money, and therefore the ideal goal of human life is being lost. It may be said that everyone is a thief and is liable to be punished. Punishment by the laws of nature takes place in the cycle of birth and death. No one dies fully satisfied by the fulfillment of material desires. That is not possible. Therefore, at the time of death, one is very sorry, being unable to fulfill his desires. By the laws of nature, one is then offered another body to fulfill his unsatisfied desires. Upon taking birth again, accepting another material body, one voluntarily accepts the threefold miseries of life. Yadvad Brieta Jataram Tavad Swatvam Hidehinam Arikam Yo Bimanyeta Sasteno Dandam Arhati. One may claim proprietorship to as much wealth as required to maintain body and soul together, but one who desires proprietorship over more than that must be considered a thief, and he deserves to be punished by the laws of nature. This is the Ishavasha principle. Ishavasha midam sarvam yat kinjat jagat jam jagat tena taktena bunjitaha magradaha kasyas vidanam. That everything in this world is owned and controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore one should accept only those things which are put aside for himself, and one should not accept other things knowing well to whom they belong. Everything here is has a purpose. And Krishna says that purpose is called yajna. And of course in this age we know that purpose of that yajna is Sankirtan yajna, to spread the holy name. Otherwise, anything used which is not in this age, not directly for the Sankirtan yajna, which is very broad, even maintaining this body that we have, is also necessary for the Sankirtan yajna. Just like we use vehicles, we use computers, we use so many things, so we're also using this body, so it has to be probably maintained in order to perform the sacrifice of Sankirtan. But if we don't, then Krishna says, yagya shishastha jagnatat kamaryo netra lokoyam karmabandhanai tarartam apikondiya mukta sangha samatra. That work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work will bind one to the material world. So perform prescribed duties for his satisfaction, O son of Kunti, and in this way, you'll always be detached and free from bondage. So what is that bondage? Sometimes people think that if I commit sinful activities, then from the clouds a lightning bolt will come and strike me on the head. And revenge, because God is a revengeful God. But we don't need lightning bolts. We're already imprisoned. And if you want to see what your prison looks like, just look in the mirror. We think that this body, which is us, is wonderful, and that I can't imagine anything more glorious than being in this body. We don't realize that this body is meant to imprison us and to repay us for our sinful activities with the threefold miseries. And the primary imprisonment is due to the false ego. That I am this body is the object of my worship and service, and therefore everything I do should be in relationship to this body and its service, its needs, its desires. And the more I fulfill my desires and needs, the needs and desires of this body, then the more I'm making advancement. The more I can obtain the necessary economic development to satisfy my, gratify my senses, either personally or extended to my family or others, then the more my life is becoming glorious. And therefore, nowadays, people who have money, they're considered to have everything. Because with money, you can buy anything. Maybe you can even buy your soul, who knows, if it's up for sale. When the devil comes to take your soul away, you pay him off and says, oh, so kind of you. Maybe a little bit more and I'll be happy. As Prahlad Maharaj said, money, money, sweeter than honey. Professional soldier, a thief, and a merchant will risk their very dear lives to just get money, because with money one can gratify one's desires. And to gratify the desires, we need this body, and therefore people usually are willing to take care of their body, unless they're in the mode of ignorance, and therefore they think, let me even sacrifice my body to fulfill my false ego's desires in the mode of ignorance. But the most glorious activity is to engage in Sankirtan. And what is the result of Sankirtan? It is not that one will necessarily gain materially. Just like if one is in a bank counting millions of dollars, it is not that if one is an expert counter, that he gains anything extra by accurately counting. He's simply doing his duty. But if he decides that this person who owns the bank, he has so much money, I take a little for myself, what's the harm? Which is, Prabhupada said, is the view of the communists. That why should this man have so much? I should also have something. But then he becomes a thief, stainer. What they don't know is that even if I'm an expert counter and honest, if I don't utilize my assets in the service of Krishna, then I'm also a thief. No matter how well I may present myself as an honest person and be glorified for my honesty, but anyone who utilizes the energies of this world outside of being utilized for Krishna's service can be said to be a thief. Just like nowadays people are claiming that they're honest, that they have a right to utilize their property as they want, because they don't recognize that there is a God. Ultimately they think that they're a God. They're the proprietors and they can do as they like. But Maya is standing right by us. And therefore it says that Krishna Bhagir Mukha Boga Vanchitare Nikatista Tare Japitya Dare. That Maya is right next to us. She knows what we are thinking. We know what we're doing. She knows what we're doing. And therefore, as soon as we turn our face away from Krishna, Krishna by her mukha, then Maya immediately puts us into the bodily concept of life. We don't have to wait. We don't have to study to become in the bodily concept of life. We enter into this world fully absorbed in the bodily concept of life. And only if we're trained to get out of the bodily concept of life is there some progress in life. Otherwise, as I've said many times, Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakura has said, everyone is born in this material world in a shudra, in ignorance. And by modern training, one becomes less than an animal. Because even a shudra can regulate their activities and gradually develop the intelligence, understand who they actually are. different from this gross and subtle material body. But one who's trained in the modern society, modern educational system, that the purpose of life is to gratify the senses, and in order to do that you have to make money, in order to do that you have to go get an education, specifically to get a job to make money. And by doing that you can gratify your senses. So one who's absorbed that way, then there's no interest, because material nature means to dampen one's interest in spiritual life. Prabhupada gives the example, if you try to light a fire, but you pour water on it, it's very, very difficult. Human life has the tendency or the propensity towards spiritual consciousness, but if one pours on it the rain of sense gratification, then that desire for spiritual enlightenment diminishes, gets dampened, or flooded, extinguished. And therefore, although they're demanding everyone be honest, or else you'll be punished by the government, but even the government is dishonest. They're all in the bodily concept of life, and Prabhupada says they go to the United Nations, and they're all claiming that this land is mine. And sometimes Prabhupada said they're acting like dogs. One is claiming, I'm a big dog. Rawr. I'm an American dog and I bite all the other dogs. Rawr. And the Russian dog, rawr, I'm also a big dog, you know. Let's go out and we'll have a little fight outside. Or inside. And in Slovenia they go, wee wee, I'm a little dog, don't bite me. I'm a friendly dog. But they're all growling and barking at each other. So what kind of peace and happiness and prosperity are you going to have from such a assembly? Simply growling and barking and biting. And yet they're claiming that they're honest. They even claim there's such a thing as international law. If you take any of my territory, and I'll bite you. That's international law. And if I'm a big enough dog, I take it and I bite you. I take your land, I bite you, and I say you're a bad dog. Because you didn't give it to me, I had to bite you first. So probably compares this to like a band of thieves. They go and rob a bank. And the head thief stands up and says, my dear fellow thieves, now that we've robbed this bank, I want you all to glorify the thieves. 1, 2, 3. Thieves' key. Really? All glory is to the thieves. Now that we've stolen all this money, I have only one request to all you noble thieves. Please, please, I beg of you, in the name of Krishna, let us divide this money up honestly. So they're all thieves, they've just stolen money, and now they want to divide it up in an honest way so they can become honest thieves. But the material nature is such that if you steal from Krishna, one becomes covered, and the covering is such that one will be forced to be act again and again, punak punas charavata charavananam, showing the chud. Simply doing the same thing over and over again without any relief. And asutanaham dvishita kuran samsaration naradamam shipram yajas from ashubam asvishveva yonishu. Now those who are envious and mischievous and the lowest among men, I perpetually cast into the lower species of life. So if we choose the wrong people to follow, we get into the wrong association. Those who are envious and mischievous, those who are convinced that they're going to become God or they're going to kill God. We get into such company, then gradually we'll sink ourselves into the lower species of life. Asram yona apanam muda janmani janmani mama prapyaiva kundiya tato yantyaramam gatim. And obtaining such species of life, one will gradually sink down into the most abominable type of existence, and they'll never be able to attain me. So what's the problem? What is the cause of all this? Trivida narakasyedam dvaram nashitam atmanaha kamakrota tata lobas etam trayam etam shijya. There are three gates leading to hell. The very three gates that everyone is glorifying is auspicious, namely lust, anger, and greed. And the internet is full of pornography to inspire people's lust. People don't think, oh, I'm lusty, I should try to control it. No, they think, I'm lusty, I should try to implore it, I should try to engage it, I should try to develop it. I'm not lusty enough. I need some help. Please help me become more lusty. And if I have the power to become greedy and steal from others, manufacture something that's worth a dime and sell it for $100, then I'm really making progress, because not only am I lusty, but now I become greedy. I'm accumulating more and more and more. The give and take philosophy. You give to me and I take from you. And what is the result? Krodha, anger, frustration. I see I have $20 billion, $100 billion, and I see you have 2 paisa, and I'm envious. Why do you have, why I don't have the 2 paisa? Why you have it? I can't even count how much money I have, but I want yours anyhow, because I'm greedy, and therefore I become frustrated. I want the whole world. I want the universe. I want 2 universes. Why one? My friend has 3, I want 5. So what's the problem? Etanyapi etaravi mukta kondya tamo drara srabinara achra yamana ashrayas tato yati purangitim. That anyone who gets freed from these 3 gates to hell performs activities which are auspicious to self-realization, and therefore they attain to the supreme destination. But, Krishna says, yakshasrid vidim usrida vartate kamakarata nisasidim avatnoti nasukam naparamgitim. That one who doesn't follow scripture, but acts according to lust, anger, and greed, can have neither happiness, nor peace, nor the supreme destination. So, however much one may try to become happy in this world, and peaceful, if one does not accept Krishna as the proprietor of everything and utilize things in Krishna's service, then one will simply be impelled by his lust, anger, and greed, and never be peaceful or happy, and what to speak of one's next destination. Therefore, Krishna says that tasmat shastram pramanam te karya karya vivastito gyatva shastram vidanokta karma kartam viharasi. One should know what is duty and what is not duty by the regulations of shastra, and knowing such rules and regulations, one should act so that one can gradually become purified. So whatever we're doing should be based on guru, sadhu, and shastra. Otherwise it's called whimsical, and we'll get ourselves in trouble. Maybe it may not be the same trouble that other people may get themselves into, but we'll find ourselves in some kind of difficulty, anxiety, or problematic situation, whatever else, lack of Krishna consciousness. But if we regularly study Shastra, become to accept that Krishna is the proprietor of everything, utilize things in the Sankirtan movement, whatever we may have, then the result is, if we're followed Krishna's guidance, then the result is we'll be able to do things with care and attention to please Krishna, and we'll remember Krishna. And if we remember Krishna, that's the perfection of our lives. So always remember Krishna and never forget him. Because then we can associate with the all-blissful, all-loving Krishna and his associates, and find ourselves in our real identity, which is full of bliss and pleasure and love forever. Otherwise, one has to take one body after another. Evam manakarma prasamyum yukte avidyatman yupadiyamane Pritirna Yavan Maya Vasudeve Namochite Deha Yogena Tadva. Prahlad Maharaj said that if we don't become jignasu, we don't become learned in Krishna consciousness, then the result is that we'll simply maintain these upadis, these false designations we have. And if we don't develop love for Vasudeva, Priti Mayi Vasudeva, then Nimochante, there's no liberation. Yoga Dehe Tava. Then we have to accept one body after another, which is very inauspicious. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Comments?
I learned that we should not accumulate more money that we need.
Okay, that's good. Anything else? What happens if you become, you accumulate more money than you? What are you supposed to, what are we supposed to do with the money we get?
We give to Krishna consciousness movement.
And if we don't do that, what happens?
Otherwise we'll use it for sense enjoyment.
Yes, and then what happens when you do that?
We degrade ourselves. We take birth again.
Yes, something like that. And maybe not in, this, in the lower species sometimes. Anything else? What did you understand, Jagannath Misra?
Yeah, so that by having this false identification with the body, then we pursue sense gratification. And then from that comes anger, greed, lust, and all this we try to mitigate. We try to sort of fulfill them. And because we don't understand that Krishna is the proprietor of everything and that we are His eternal servants, we just whimsically go for it, and all these things just take us further and further away from the goal of life.
Good, thank you. Anything else? Go.
No, you can just say it like this.
No, no, we have the microphone, that way everyone can hear.
Yeah. Hare Krishna. I just want to have one question. If I have one thought about lust, like every day, how do I stop it if it keeps coming?
Well, if you only have one thought, it's not a big problem.
Yeah, but it keeps coming back.
You're doing quite well.
I can't stop it. Like it's.
Well, it's, you don't have to stop it. Because we just have to become aloof from it, not to become disturbed by it. Instead, try to think about Krishna instead. We're not trying to stop anything. We're trying to.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about Krishna as much as possible, but it's still there, you know.
It's there until you know. But just like if a snake is passing on the road by you, you have a choice. If you run away, the snake will bite you, and if you try and grab the snake, it'll bite you. If you just let the snake go by, then it'll just leave you alone. So it's just like if you run up to a tree and grab the tree and say, let me go, let me go. The tree's not holding on to you, you're holding on to the tree. So if you just let go of the tree, then the tree won't hold you anymore. So lust may come through our mind, and if we just become aloof from it, it'll go away.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else? Khwala, Grantharaj, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.